You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone!
Swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
All right, welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 233. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember, before we get going, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel. Subscribe there as well. Hit the thumbs up on all of our videos, which are in the Play Tessie playlist file there. And you can find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Once again, not a full cast, but it's reversed now. Sammy's here. Pat couldn't make this one. Rescheduled episode. The whole rain delay thing really messed with everything. But I really do think we're going to be full for the next one. So you got the Gordo guarantee on that. But yeah, heading into this one, it's just like kind of a confusing feeling because they win a series against the Reds. They blew Chase Burns' bolts off in what was supposed to be a pitcher's duel. And they followed up that offensive onslaught with another, like the first inning of the next game, they score a couple of runs. Roman Anthony with the big double, you know, he's red hot, and you know, that game gets delayed with the rain, but you come back the next day and, you know, they don't hit for a little bit, but they come through in the clutch when they needed to, and they won that game and you're feeling really good about yourself. They go up 3-0 in the last game. You're feeling a sweep. And in the 7th and 8th innings, I mean, I counted 7 either base running, fielding, or managerial decision. Mistakes, errors, however you want to put it, things I wouldn't have done. I don't know. Count them up, 7. And that game goes from 3-0 to 8-4 before you can even blink. So it's a confusing feeling just because they won the series. I want to feel good because they won the series. That's what this is about. You win series. If they win 2 out of 3 every time, then they're going to end up in a good place come the end of the season. If they win every damn series for the rest of the way here, they're going to be in the playoffs. So that's what it's about. It's about winning series, and I don't want to lose sight of that. But at the same time, with the Red Sox, with the hole they've dug for themselves, with not necessarily in the immediate future, but after the All-Star break, with the schedule they got coming up there, and with the competition inevitably getting better, like the teams that are competing for the postseason are getting better, and they're going to get better when they make trades. Like, you cannot lose the winnable games. You cannot blow 3-0 leads late. It just can't happen. Like, these games, there's been so many of them that the Red Sox have had the opportunity to win if they just did a couple of small things right, or didn't mess up a couple of obvious major league plays, or it's happened a lot this year. And it's frustrating because it's the difference between this team being under 500 and over 500. And yeah, again, I don't want to lose sight that they won the series, but it's hard because, like, I mean, that game just ended 10 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago. And the mistakes that I referenced happened about an hour ago. And that's what's fresh on my mind, even though there was a nice win earlier in the day. Again, I don't want to lose sight of it. But again, that's just why my brain is just, it's in a pretzel right now, because, like, logical Gordo is telling overall Gordo, hey, they won the series, you should feel okay about it. But, like, reactionary fan Gordo is thinking, F that. Like, what was that? So I don't even know.
Yeah, we're both Severance fans here. Is the logical Gordo the innie or the outie?
I think, that's a good question. I think logical Gordo is the innie and the outie is the reactionary fan Gordo.
Fair. Hey, it's a weird place to be as a Red Sox fan. I'm with you. I'm happy they won the series. That's great. But you've seen this team. This feels like the same Red Sox team we've seen the last few seasons. They're heating up as we near the All-Star break / trade deadline. They're beating these teams. They're winning series, and you're feeling good as they're inching towards a playoff spot. But again, it's that hump after the All-Star break, and we've talked about it before on this show. We see the Cubs, Astros, Phillies, a lot of good teams right after the break.
Dodgers.
Jeez. So while I'm happy they won the series, when they lose a game, they're ahead 3-0 against a bad team. It's the Reds, man. It's the Reds. You're up 3-0 with a
chance.
They're
not that bad. They're over 500.
It's the Reds, though. The injured Reds. It's a banged up Reds pitching like they're.
Yeah, no.
It's a game you could have won. Yeah,
it's not a winnable game. 3-0 lead against the Dodgers. If Ohtani and Mookie and Freeman get to you, it's like, okay, right, we fought as long as we could.
But
like,
they're not. Nobody's afraid of the Reds. Yeah. So. Yes, good they won the series. I'm glad they're kind of inching back towards playoff contention, that friggin' 500 mark that they love to hover around. But it's so hard for me personally. I'll speak for myself. When you just look ahead, what's coming. When they win 2 out of 3, but the third game is one they really could have had, it's so hard to get excited. And I don't want to come on here after the Red Sox win a series and be all negative. I know you don't want to do that either, but like... Do you feel better at the end of today, Wednesday, than you did when you woke up today about this team?
Okay, it's two separate questions. Because what better than when I woke up? No. But better than I did at the start of the series? Yes. Mm. Because they put together, like, yes, they lost the third game, but they put together three games in the series where the offense wasn't a complete dumpster fire. And I know, like, that's a really low bar. But with what we've seen since the Devers trade, like the Blue Jays series, I know they lost that series. But again, you know, three straight games where the offense wasn't a complete dumpster fire. So it's now six games in a row. If the offense puts together anything resembling what they've done for, let's say, the last week now, and then you add Bregman to that, you add Yoshida to that. And like we can talk about that Yoshida first base stuff.
First baseman Yoshida. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Come on. That is so funny. 5'8" Yoshida hasn't, they were like, yeah, he played first base in high school. He's 31 years old.
Why was he playing first base in high school? Like, people just glossed
right
over
that. I don't know.
What was the situation where that was the move?
Maybe he was kind of like a poor defender in high school and they hit him at first. I don't know. Maybe he was 5'8" young in high school and he was considered tall ish. Back then, I don't know, it's still not that tall, but where were we even going? How did we get to you?
The point I was getting to was, if you put together the offensive output that you have for the last week, and then you get yourself into a position where you can add Alex Bregman and Masataka Yoshida to it, then yeah, you're feeling okay about yourself. I mean,
why it's such a bummer, because we've had this conversation. We've said similar stuff to this like 10 times this year, and the year before, and the most recent game we have to go off of is just a complete revert to all the bad stuff. Bad base running, poor situational hitting, not paying attention, bad defense, questionable managerial decisions, even though I know we don't all agree on that. Like, it's just like you said, seven things or whatever that you counted. It's so frustrating, and So yes, it's good they won a series. I'm happy about that. They increased in the standings in the series against the Reds. But that last game, it just puts such a damper on what should be a series that we're excited about. But I can't. I'm never going to change how I actually feel to sound a certain way on the podcast. I'm always going to be honest. That just dampened my attitude big time. Just it's not that they lost; it's how they lost. It's just so I'm so tired of it.
So okay, will you hit the home run? And he had just such a great series, and he's such a good player, and we are so lucky to have him. He hits the home run in the sixth. You're up 3-0. Greg Weiser was in the game from the sixth. He'd gotten that last out of the inning. Comes back in for the seventh, very obviously does not have it. Like he loads the bases, no outs, no one warming. And this is kind of where the start of my questions begins, because you've got Jordan Hicks, you've got Garrett Whitlock who can go for two. And it's not a situation where, oh, if we throw Hicks and Whitlock and then it goes to extra innings, we're screwed. Because no, you got Cooper Criswell. And yeah, like obviously he's on short rest. You don't want to kill the guy, but he's ready to die on the sword if you need someone to die on the sword. And he came in tonight and, you know, he didn't necessarily die on the sword, but like you could go there. I didn't understand why Greg Weiser was allowed to stay in with the bases loaded to allow the grand slam, but then beyond that to then let up a fifth run, which proved super costly because they scored the fourth run the next inning. That leads to the second mistake, which was Romy Gonzalez trying to stretch a double into a triple on a ball off the monster in left, which we were texting in the group chat, Sammy, and you said that has never happened. And like genuinely, I cannot remember a time where a ball off the monster has turned into a triple and he was out by what, 4 or 5 steps. Like it wasn't even
close. It has to go off the monster, kick towards center field, and the center field has to like fall down or something. That is almost never, ever a triple. And like, sure, we've been watching the Red Sox forever, and Romy Gonzalez hasn't been on the team as long, but he spends more than enough time at Fenway to know when the ball hits that part of the wall, especially like, know the situation, no outs, man, you never, ever make the first out at third base.
That's it right there. It's you got to know the situation before the play happens. Like they always talk about that like it's in the field, but you got to know the situation at the plate too. And he, like, obviously the camera was on him a lot, and you could tell he was beating himself up because it's not a mental man.
He knows. Mistake. He knows.
He gets it. He knows. But at the same time, it's like that right there. And I know Jordan Hicks didn't have it tonight and let in more runs. So like you can say it didn't cost them the game, but in the moment, like that game is tied going into the top of the eighth if Romy Gonzalez doesn't get thrown out at third. And hell, if they pull Weiser before, I mean, he threw 30 pitches, and this is a guy who has very obviously worn down, and like they're lucky to be getting Hicks into the mix here when they are. Mm-hmm. But 30 pitches, 5 runs, like I don't know how Weiser was allowed to stay in that long. I don't know what Romy was doing running for third. Those were the two, in my opinion, most egregious mistakes that were made, and like obviously it changed the game. I can run through the others. I wrote them down. There were 7 of them. And we don't agree on all of them. I thought, and we were texting with Pat too. So Pat and I thought that Ref Snyder should have hit against the lefty. I was thinking he should have hit for Duran, but honestly, with 2 outs, no one on, I understand why you stick with Duran. But once Duran was on, we thought he should have hit for Anthony. I also thought Duran should have been running. Neither of those things happened. Anthony strikes out. Inning ends right there.
Yeah. So if Duran had been so the way I was looking at the situation, 2 outs, runner on first, it's Duran. Duran has not been running as much as he did last year. So in my head, I'm thinking like, I would love for him to run, but I feel like he's not super confident. I'm not sold that he's going to run.
And it's
and it's a lefty with a decent move as well.
But he threw over twice too.
Yeah.
Once he threw over twice, he didn't go.
So everything I'm about to say out the window after he threw over the second time. It's too late at that point, but I'm not going to know he's thrown over 2 times. You can't know that. But my thought process was, I want Duran to go, but I don't think he's going to go. Roman's been hot lately. It's only the 7th inning. You got 6 more outs to play with if this doesn't work. If you bring in Ref Snyder, you need a double or more. What are the odds he does that? Not great. What are the odds you'll need him later in the game? Probably better than the odds of him hitting that double. So I don't think it turned out to not really matter much. But yeah, I'm fine with Cora sticking with Roman Anthony in that spot. I feel like it's, you know, he's going to be a star of this team. It's, you know, Rogers is an okay lefty. He's had some success, but he's not, it's not like he's facing Chapman out there. It's not an unhittable lefty. So I was fine with it. I got what you guys were saying. I wouldn't have hated it if he brought in Refsnyder to hit the lefty. I wouldn't have complained, but I wouldn't have gone to him in that spot. I would have stuck with Roman, even though the result was not what we wanted.
Thing is, Roman Anthony, going into the at bat, 4-for-20 against left-handed major leaguers this year, now 4-for-21. And that's an arm angle that pretty confident Roman has not seen before. And, you know, obviously a tough spot to see it for the first time in that spot. Again, not the most egregious. Like if we're going to get on Cora for anything, to me, it's the Weissert thing. And
yeah,
you know, I don't know when the time is going to come for Weissert to, I mean, I think lately they've maybe tried a little bit to tone it down with him, and they certainly have with Bernie, but at a certain point in time, and maybe it's not soon, because I'm trying to think. I know they shut Birdie down, and I'm trying to think of anyone else. Like, I guess maybe if Hauk comes back as a reliever or something. But like, yeah, like when could a fake IL stint for Weissert be coming, just to get the guy some rest, which they did last year.
Dobbin should be back.
Great.
Dobbin should be back soon. Yeah,
and then you can move Bueller to the pen, but he could use a fake IL stint too. Like,
oh man, nobody needs a fake IL stint more,
to be honest. But
yeah, I would fake IL Bueller just in case someone wants to give you a fringy prospect or something for him. But
hey guys, yeah, he's really good in the playoffs.
He was good. He was good. He could bounce back, and the Red Sox could pay like half the money remaining, sure, and be like, give us your 15th ranked prospect. That's exciting.
Yay. Or the Braves could take him, because I made the Who Says No, and then Schwellenbach broke his elbow. All right, hold on. Divert for a second. People hated my Who Says No. They hated it.
Yeah, you know why? You know why? We should have put something about Olsen's money being in that deal, because that's like a huge factor. I don't think the Braves would say yes, but I wasn't like, that's a terrible idea, Gord. I was like, probably take out Bueller, maybe add a little bit more for the Red Sox side. But it wasn't like, what the fuck are you talking about?
The truth is, it's the same reason that people said that the Red Sox got nothing for Devers. Like, the truth is, no, that what the Red Sox got for Devers was they're off of $250 million.
Let's go.
And they gave away a guy who's making, like, 'cause when a player is making the amount of money that his production deserves, in theory, the prospect return for said player should be minimal to none, because you don't give up a player for a free agent contract. And when you do have to give up a pick, the guy gets less money in free agency because you're giving up the pick. It's all intertwined.
I am going to have a Jaren Duran Who Says No in a week or two here, and you are going to hate it. You're going to be disgusted. Well, you're going to think it's disgraceful.
You should go next.
Okay, I'll go next.
Because you'll do the opposite. Like, you'll say like Duran for Jeremiah Estrada or something. It'll be the complete opposite end of the spectrum.
That's what I was thinking with Jeremiah Estrada.
You should do it.
But not one for one, but like, that's the bones of it. Yeah, man, you were getting
honest
like
to God, true, Who Says No?
No, I will. I'll give realistic.
I hate to say the people don't know ball. I understand saying no, but this was not like a, sorry, Joe, this was not the Bo Bichette trade. it just wasn't. You put it in the trade machine.
Here comes Joe. Wait, I want to hear Joe.
This is equal the amount of hate that I got for Bo Bichette.
It's close.
It's up there. It's up there on the list
we should
the most
the
hated
comp.
Who Says No's well, we've had.
It's definitely,
you know what
the
it is?
It's most hated,
it's,
for
it's
sure.
Because Duran is so, there's such a massive spectrum on Duran. Like, do you think he's the low 700s poor defender that we've seen this year? Or is he the 21 home run, leads the league in doubles and triples, and plays close to gold glove defense? You could even play him in center field. By the way, he steals your 30 bases. Jaren Duran that we saw last year. It's a massive, massive difference. And that's why people are going to have very strong opinions one way or the other about Jaren Duran. I doubt there's many people who are like, oh, as with most things, the truth is somewhere in the middle, and the real Jaren Duran should be a moderate return. Like, it's either he sucks or he's great. with trade things like this on social media.
Truth is, like, the way I think about it is, look at the trade return that Dalton fucking Varsho got. Like, Dalton Varsho is the essence of mid. But because he had a shit ton of team control, he got a top 10 prospect in the game.
Okay. The only thing I'll push back on is he played elite center field defense, so he was always a high floor guy. But I hear what you're saying.
I hear what you're saying. I agree. But Durant has a reasonably high floor, too, just because of the base running. And, like, the defense, I get, has been bad this year, and the eye test certainly defends that it has been bad. But the metrics, you can't, like, with a Fenway left fielder, it's always hard. Like, has he truly been, what is it, like 10th or 11th percentile outs above average? Or is it because he plays half of his games in front of the monster at Fenway? Like, I feel it hasn't been good. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, like, because last year it was legitimately good. And this year it definitely has been below average. I'm not trying to say it's been good. But I do think Durant has somewhat of a floor.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. He's got speed. That automatically brings up his floor just because he'll get extra hits for that.
I wish I could have asked the people, like, the follow-up that I asked you guys, like, if you remove Buehler, what is your opinion? If you remove Caminiti, what is your opinion? But, like, it's just Twitter, and, like, people are going to come in hot. And, like, I get it. People don't evaluate – like, they evaluate the deals based off of the names in the deal. And it's Matt Olson's the best player in the deal, and the Braves are giving up more – like, if you compare Olson and Duran, Olson is better than Duran. But then the Braves are giving away more pieces and eating money. Like, it's like, what?
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, they're not taking the money into account. But whatever. I didn't think it was that bad.
It is what it is. I'm okay getting crushed because I feel secure in it. It's okay to say the Braves say no like that.
Before we get back on track, if you didn't catch that episode, the Who Says No, go back and listen to it after you're done with this episode. And the full trade was Red Sox get Matt Olson, Ken Caminiti, and Dylan Lee, who's a relief pitcher. Caminiti's the fifth ranked prospect for friggin' whatchamacallit for the Braves,
he's the first ranked, but like
65th on pipeline. Sorry. And then, which is good. And then the Braves get Jaron Duran and Walker Buehler. So that was the trade. People were very mad at Walker Gordo for that. Yes, they get to have Walker Buehler, the last pitcher to pitch in 2024.
However, they need starting pitching because since I proposed it, man, Spencer Schwalbach is elbows and smithereens.
Smithereens.
What is their? Let's pull up the Braves starting pitcher depth chart and then we'll get back on track. Braves.
I love. Defend this trade, Gordo. It's Sale's out and Schwalbach is out. And Strider's back. I don't know.
They don't even have five starting pitchers listed on their depth chart that are healthy. They've got Strider, Grant Holmes, Bryce Elder, and then I don't even know who Didier Fuentes is, but
he's 20. He's 20 years old. Maybe the Braves will want Walker Buehler, is what you're getting at. Maybe Walker Buehler might be appealing to the Atlanta
want
Braves.
Want is a strong word, but maybe would acquire. Could use.
Yes.
Maybe the Sox should trade from some of their starting pitching depth. But they kind of need it right now. But soon enough, maybe not. Maybe they want Tanner Houck.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
I don't know. But let's get back on track. Do you want to talk about like the Jim Bowden stuff? Is that worth talking about?
Yeah. Touch on it.
He said, so basically the premise here is he polled 40 execs that he said, a lot of them are president of baseball officers and chief baseball officer, president of baseball operations, GMs. Like he's like, it's those people. He pulled 40 of them and he said overwhelmingly the most likely reliever to get dealt according to them was Aroldis Chapman. How do you feel about that?
I mean, he's 37 years old. He's on a 1-year deal. Red Sox currently not in a playoff spot. How could you disagree? I mean, I'm going through the American League. Did he say the most likely in the American League or overall?
He said overall. The Pirates guys were number two. That's where I would push back a little bit. But I get the premise here. Like, I'm sorry. Like, the Red Sox are 2 games under 500, and they just acquired another guy with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball that's also making over $10 million. Yeah, like, it's not that
right. But the Red Sox could just use that same logic and be like, well, we can replace Chapman with another flamethrower. Hopefully, he can miss.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's what. Like I'm saying, like logically for them, they'll be like, oh, well, we're getting Slayton back, so that like,
okay,
we want to get controllable guys. Like we may not compete this year; he's a rental, so like, we'll trade him.
I'm going to put the kibosh on this right now. If they trade Chapman, the season is over. That is a punt. Your bullpen is nothing without Aroldis Chapman. Absolutely fucking nothing without Aroldis Chapman. It is done. You have no shot. You've shot yourself in the foot. Congrats on your prospects. No shot. If they trade Chapman, I'm just putting that out there right now. He is the glue holding that bullpen together. So, I don't know what he would fetch in a trade. I'm sure he would be extremely valuable at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
But as it stands right now, if things are the way they are, I think the Red Sox have enough major league talent right now. Not enough, but they have a lot of major league talent right now. The young talent is unbelievable. The farm system is somehow still getting better, and the draft is coming up. I would be pretty upset if they moved Aroldis Chapman and punted at this point. Now, we have weeks to go before the deadline. Things can change. If they lose, you know, 8 out of 10, I probably won't feel that way anymore. I'll probably say, you got to trade Chapman. If you lose this opportunity, then you're just wasting everyone's time. But as it stands right now, I think if you move Aroldis Chapman, that is it. You're done. The Red Sox are dead. I don't want them to do that. I don't think this is the greatest Red Sox team ever, but they certainly have a shot to make the playoffs still, even after all of our moping to open the episode. So no, I agree with Bowden. I think this is a likely trade candidate with Aroldis Chapman, but I do not want that guy moved right now, July 2nd, as we're recording. Do not want him moved.
Yeah, where I'm at is, if like for me with the Red Sox, I feel like either they have to buy or they have to buy sell. Like a straight sell doesn't do anything. Like if they're going to sell,
you can't.
Then you need to be, first of all, you need to be out of it. Second of all, you need to be getting stuff for next year. Like this is not some sort of, like if they fall out of it, this is not going to be some sort of long-term sell-off. Like, no, you've got the pieces, the big threes is they are here. Like they're ready to go. You've got Crochet locked up and in his prime. You're hopefully going to extend Alex Bregman. I guess we can talk about that part of the article next, but like your core is here. Like you're not trading controllable pieces unless you're, mm-hmm. Like, obviously, maybe they could trade Jaren Duran, but it's like any move that you make has to be either to improve the team for 2025 or to improve the team for 2026. So if they're six games out, by all means, trade Aroldis Chapman. Like, I'm not going to tell you to hold right. Aroldis Chapman if you're six out, but you also got to be looking to acquire controllable bullpen pieces that can help you starting, I mean, as soon as this year, but like if you're six out, we'll talk next year. What I don't want to see them do is they're 2.5 out right now. Like if you're 2.5 out and you're trying to pull some maneuvering bullshit with Chapman, that's tough because he's not just some reliever. Like you said, Samuel, like he has been everything and more for this bullpen. The essence of lockdown automatic does not flounder ever.
Probably probably second best reliever in all Major League Baseball behind Munoz this year.
I'd have to look at it, but like the truth is, whether it be Chapman, Munoz, or whoever you want to talk about it, like when they come into the game in the ninth, gabosh, it's over. You're done.
You're done.
You're done.
You're done. You're done.
So that's not a guy you trade when you think you are going to make the playoffs and make a run. If you don't think you're going to make the playoffs, go ahead. But I'm begging you for creativity if you're going to sell.
I would have a longer leash on this group. The 2025 group than in years past, because like you said, Gordo, the young guys are already here.
Yep.
And this is not a long term. We need to find pieces to help us in 2028. No, like you are the window, you know, you could argue should have started in 2025, but 2026, it's like you got to either be making the team better this year, like you said, or preparing for the near future. But yeah, I can't fathom trading Chapman right now. And by the way, everybody is going to point to Cole Reagans.
Oh, yeah. That's again, so stupid. Can we stop?
The Royals traded Aroldis Chapman to the Rangers for Cole Reagans. And now the Rangers won the World Series, the first one ever for that franchise, so it was worth it for them. But they gave up a guy who looks like a legitimate Major League Baseball ace in Cole Reagans. The odds of getting a return like that for Chapman, it's like 2.5%. You have very, very, very low chance.
And you know what, Sammy? If you could guarantee me Cole Reagans for Chapman, of course I would do it right now. I don't
care.
Fuck this here, man. If you can give me Cole Reagans, like, yeah.
Sure.
But it's not yet. It's not happening. But to your earlier point where you said that this year's team should have a longer leash, I 100% agree they should have a longer leash for all the reasons that you stated. And I think they do because basically all of 22, 23, and 24 – but let's stick to 24 because that's the only year of Breslow. Last year, it was like pulling teeth to finally get Breslow to the point in time where he said, yeah, we'll buy. Like I think it was like the day before the All-Star break was the first time he sort of committed to buying. And that team was way in a playoff spot and he wouldn't commit to it. This year, he trades Devers and then the team goes on a huge longest losing streak in 3 years, and he's still saying that they're going to buy. So the leash is longer.
Idiot, dude. Why would he say that though? What even if he meant it? Like, why would you say that?
I think it's the right thing to say.
You think? What? Well, he set such expectations. I mean, you know what? I don't think anyone cares
in the clubhouse. Like, it's like you just traded their best player. You need them to know.
What if you don't buy? Then they'll never trust you again. Like, what if he doesn't?
If they are six games out and they don't buy, I don't think anyone's going to be blaming Breslow. It's going to be, well, okay, they'll blame him for trading Devers, but no one's going to say, fuck, what the fuck? He said he was going to buy. Like, no one would.
I mean, it
would
still
be mad
looks
if he
bad.
Did buy. If they're still six out bad. And they buy, I'm going to be mad.
It depends if it's controllable pieces, but
yeah, you're right. That's different.
But like, It's there's just no. You're saying it's good because it fires up the guys in the clubhouse in the immediate time.
If they sniff for even a second that you don't.
You know what,
believe
that's not that crazy. That's not that crazy. Okay, I hear what you're saying.
The worst thing that happens is like he said he was going to buy, and then the team fell out of the race. Circumstances change. Shit happens.
Yeah,
man.
That's not Sorry. That crazy. All right, I hear you. I hear you. I still don't think it was a great idea, but the way you're looking at it, it's not the. You know, I hear you.
God damn. Bregman. You know what's going to be a great trade deadline acquisition is Alex Bregman, man. That's Bregman. The trade deadline acquisition.
We got to talk about him too.
Yeah. The other, I don't know which angle you want to go on this, but we can start with the Bowden portion of it where he was basically just like, yeah, like I was surprised to hear some execs think that Alex Bregman could get traded. So watch out for the Tigers and the Mariners. If the Red Sox can't get him extended before the deadline,
why would he be surprised, man? Why would he be surprised? The Red Sox haven't given out a long-term contract to anyone other than Garrett Crochet, who's literally Garrett Crochet, in friggin' who God knows how long. Bregman's going to be very expensive. He's 31 years old. He's kind of on an expiring deal, kind of not on an expiring deal. Weird contract. Like, I don't think the Red Sox will trade him, but it wouldn't, like, I don't think anyone would be surprised if they did. They just traded Rafael Devers. What am I talking about? Well, nobody would be surprised.
That's exactly what happened in my head today. Like, I read that and I said, well, yeah, I sure shit would be surprised if they traded Bregman. And then I was like, well, you fucking idiot. You said there was a 0% chance they were going to trade Devers. So, like, at this point, nothing surprises me anymore. But, like, if you look at it logically, they just kicked a ton of money off of the books, opening up the door for a big contract. They've got this guy who every time the camera pans to him, he's sitting next to Marcelo Meyer or Roman Anthony with an iPad in his hand. Like, clearly he is so important to this group, both on and off the field. I get that he's a little bit older and that their models are not going to suggest paying a 31.
Models!
I'm just telling you, that's how they are.
No, I know.
It's not going to suggest paying that much money, and certainly not the years he's going to command a guy of his age. But, like, you need that guy. I'm sorry, you do.
You need a culture setter. You need a culture setter. I do too. Maybe I'm fooling myself being too positive, but I do think they're going to keep Alex Bregman. I mean, they just...
Are we stupid? Are we dumb for thinking
that? We might be. We might be. But here's my logic. They just tried to, I guess, kind of sort of make a point or like make an example of Rafael Devers. If you're not going to be a team player, if you're not going to have a good attitude, you're out of here. Go enjoy the NL West, Rafi. So why would they then not want a guy who is the perfect leader, the guy who talks with the young players constantly, like you said? He's with Marcelo, he's with Roman, he's chatting everyone up, he's a baseball addict. This guy's addicted to baseball. Why would you? And he's good. He's a good player, too, bearing the lead here. He's also very good still. He was on fire before he hurt himself. So, yeah, just it would make no fucking sense not to extend Alex Bregman, but there's a lot of stuff that hasn't made sense with this Red Sox team. Ergo, that's why I would not be surprised if he were to be traded, because it makes no sense and this team makes no sense.
It's so hard to imagine what they could even get for him too, just because he's making a ton of money and he's also, like, people don't talk about it because everyone just assumes he's going to opt out, but, like, if he just, like, straight up tore his ACL in a playoff game and is going to be out the next year, you're on the hook for $40 million next year of a guy that's not going to be playing for, like, there's a lot of risk taken on that deal for a team. Like I was surprised that he said the Mariners, because, like, the Mariners, like, I don't know, that owner has not been willing to invest anything and take on, like, that.
Dude, they got the best rotation. They got the best pitching staff in baseball, and they won't spend on shit to get offense. I don't think they're going to take the Bregman money. Okay. Maybe, though. That Devers trade completely broke my brain, because now every crazy idea that comes up, I'm like, no, that would never happen. But it could. Maybe if it did.
And then another one that happens because of the Devers trade is every single time a tiny little minuscule fear pops into my head. And usually when those things happen, I'm like, oh no, like there's no chance. And then I think, well, that's what you thought about Devers getting traded. That fear pops into my head at some point, and I was like, no, there's no way. Like someone had told me like maybe 3 weeks before that, that like, hey, like on the table, like that, yeah, that could happen. I was like, well, that's certainly not happening in season. No chance.
Well, I'm never listening to you again. Yeah. Like that. Yeah.
There, and then there you have it. So yeah, every single little fear that pops into my mind, including them potentially trading Alex Bregman. So yeah, I hope that doesn't happen. If I had to put money on something, I think he's with the Red Sox next year and beyond. But
I do too. I think they give him
until it happens.
If I were a betting man, I would say Bregman gets 5 or 6 years from the Red Sox, and it might be in a quote unquote overpay. Don't care. You need that guy, culture setter. Do you not remember Dustin Pedroia, people? You need a guy like that, and they're not the same person. I know, but
predict
you need
contract.
A guy like that.
Predict the contract. I've been going back and forth with a couple of things. I've settled on 6 years. That's where I think he's headed.
Okay, let me do some math. 6 years, how much?
Let's say 6 years times, we'll say 27 million, 162. Six for 162.
Yeah. 162. Divided by six, yeah, 27 million. I was going to say higher AAV, 1 year shorter. Like,
that could happen too.
Like,
that's
5 years.
The Sox will want.
Yeah, so like, what if you did?
Because the Sox always, like, while teams like the Padres will say, we'll give you the extra years to lower down the AAV, the Red Sox have always, you know, like, let's keep this thing shorter. We'll give you more money.
So what if you did 5 years, but like a couple mil higher? So like 5, 165. So they could conceivably say, look, we'll give you more money, but it's one less year. Now it's only $3 million more than what you said for an entire less year of playing Major League Baseball, but that'd be a higher AAV though. That's the
problem.
That'd
be 33.
Yeah, 33, which right now sounds like a ton, but 2028, how will 33 sound? So it's a lot. It's going to be a lot no matter what, but well, it depends. I'd be cool with either of those. What's 6, 162 you said, and then I said 5, 165.
Somewhere in that ballpark, though. Like that's what it's going to cost. And it's just so funny because it's like next year, you like if you sign Bregman to one of those deals, you're paying him. I mean, obviously, if you defer the money, the same. But like against, actually, I don't know what it is against the tax because of the deferrals and they do present day value. But it's $40 million, and now it's going to be, let's say, somewhere between 27 and 33 million. You're saving $7 to $13 million there. And if Giolito's back, he's making what, around 20 this year? If he's back next year on that option, that's going to be, what is that, 12 million on that option? Team option? Or is it 14? Either way, like you're saving $6 to $8 million there.
I think
like,
it's more than that. Isn't it more than?
I remember.
Here, let me see.
Here.
14. No, 14. 14. Not that bad.
Okay. So you're saving like $6-ish million. From what he's making this year, and you're saving that on Bregman, you saved a ton on Devers. Walker Buehler comes off the books. Chapman's not on the books. Like there's a ton of money to play with, and that's why stuff like a Bregman extension. Bradfo just talked to Roman Anthony about whether he's been approached, and he said nothing since he got to the majors, which kind of implies they maybe talked when he was in the minors. Pay him like those types of deals. Trade
for the Braves, man.
Go trade for another high level starting pitcher and extend him the crochet model. Do it again. Like
Braves do. Do what the Braves did back like a few years ago. They locked up all their good young guys. They had a veteran presence in there too. Ding, ding. The Braves. That's it. You want to be the Braves, just not the 2025.
Not this year's
Braves. Yeah.
Because if you're this year's Braves, you have to trade the Red Sox Matt Olson. So.
And Ronald Acuna Jr.
Ronald Acuna.
Ronald Acuna.
Ronnie A.
Ronald Acuna. Yeah, I want to mispronounce his name. Ronald Acuna Jr.
All right, Sammy, before we get to enough said, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and we're going to get through these quickly. Does Masataka Yoshida play a single out for the Red Sox at first base?
No.
I don't think so.
No, either. No. He's 5'8" and he hasn't played since high school. No,
it's not going to. What's going to happen?
I hope he does. I really hope he does.
It really kind of makes you feel foolish seeing your team have. Yeah, But no, I think what this ends up, what ends up happening is they trade an outfielder and he ends up being the platoon DH. Like the outfielder trade may happen sooner than you think. Because like if they keep talking like Yoshida, they're like, yeah, like couple rehab games at DH, then I'll play the outfield and we'll go from there. And it's like, wait, are you talking about bringing him back like that fast?
Oh man, I don't know. Just fucking let him hit. Dude, can you imagine Yoshida playing first base? That image. I want to show that image to all the people who defended Rafi when Rafi was like, no, I will not play first base. Because now you got Masataka Yoshida playing first base and Rafael Devers is in fucking San Francisco striking out 7 times in a row and we're all miserable. Nobody's better for it.
So yeah, neither of us thinks Yoshida's playing first base. Second question, Trevor Story had the big hit in the first game today. Basically, I mean, it was practically gone. It was a huge hit, put him up by a couple. And then he had 3 hits in the second game today. He's been hitting the ball a lot better lately. What is your confidence level in Trevor Story?
My confidence level in Trevor Story changes game to game. Like I've mentioned this before, I'm pretty sure. You can tell how his at bat is going to go after like 1 or 2 pitches. It is very clear if he's seeing the pitcher well or not. So I guess I don't really have a take on it until I see him look at 1 or 2 pitches versus the day's starting pitcher. So I guess overall, I'm pretty in the middle with Story. Like, I'm not over the moon when he's up, but I'm also not like, oh, automatic out like I was in, May when he was really ice cold. So, I'm feeling solid about Story. And it's great to see him succeed because I think we all, you know, we don't have much of a rapport with him, but he seems from what we've seen, like just a good guy all around and a guy who's trying to be that leader. It's just, it's hard when he's missed so much time. So, Story, always a guy I'm going to admire, and I'm happy to see him, you know, play a little bit better. And so to answer your question, I feel good when he's up.
Yeah. In terms of my confidence, it's like, yeah, I feel fine when he's up now. Like, and part of that is because of the rest of the line. Like, they don't have really a middle of the order right now. Like, your middle of the order is 2 rookies and a guy who was signed to a minor league deal this offseason. So, like, yeah, when Trevor Story's up, it's not like I'm there. Like, there's, I just don't feel great about it.
Willier's been good.
Okay, you've got Willier too. You're right. I should give Willier credit. I was thinking like Roman, Narvaez, and Toro. But yeah, you're right. Willie's in that. I mean, it's just kind of one big clump. Like, the lineup doesn't have like any fire in the middle, but there's also like no obvious.
It's not like a weak
Santiago
link.
Santiago Espinal. Like they don't have a Santiago Espinal in there unless like Wong or David Hamilton are in the lineup that day. Like, so yeah, when Story's up, I feel like okay about it. But at the same time, would I be willing to sacrifice some of, like, cause I think he's a valuable part of this year's team, but would I be willing to sacrifice some of that if a team came calling and was like, yeah, we'll eat half of that contract. Then like at that point I'd be like, all right, yeah, fine. Like, I'll take the hit.
But you think a team would trade for Story?
No.
I don't. Yeah, not at all. I don't either.
I think one thing that we know with Story is like obviously the ups are nice, and I'm nervous that what we're seeing now is like kind of the new age Story ups, which are certainly not the ups that we've seen from him in the past. We're gonna get the downs again too, and we've seen what those are, and you should expect them. And hopefully the Red Sox have Alex Bregman and Yoshida and maybe a trade acquisition in hand by the time that comes around. But yeah. Confidence in Story, it's like, it's okay. It's okay. I'm happy like for the guy. I'm glad he's playing better.
Like a 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah. Good. Like, it's fine. Good. Yeah.
The only team I could have seen trading for Trevor Story is the Braves, but they've fallen out of contention, so I don't think they're an option anymore.
No, unless it was like some crazy deal around him and Sean Murphy where you still hate money. But like it's complicated and maybe a little bit more of an offseason move. I don't know.
Unless
they're both out of it. If they're both out of it, shit, anything's on the table. But
yeah, true. That could be like a swap that they look at for 2026. But yeah, that's along the lines of what I was thinking. Murphy, because Red Sox need catching. Like Narvaez, he's been great, but his knees are gonna be mush if he catches every single friggin' game. So they either need catching or they need Wong to hit more, like he did on a Wednesday. He got a hit. So
still waiting on the extra base hit, but he got the RBI after I declared him clean shaven. So Shout out Connor Wong for...
Yeah, what did you do? You declared him clean-shaven, but he wasn't actually clean-shaven. You just declared him. What does it mean to declare someone clean-shaven when they're not?
I AI'd him into a clean-shaven face, and he drove in a run, so he's clean-shaven.
Oh, that was AI? I thought that was like an old picture of him. I thought that was real.
That was, dude, that was Grok. Goink, as we like to say.
Goink. Do people say that?
No. I say that. Goink.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
All right. You want to go on enough said?
Yeah, I have two enough saids, so good. We should go now. First, Alex Verdugo DFA'd by the Braves that we talk about a lot on this podcast now for some reason. Just wanted to point out, and I tweeted this out, but like post Mookie trade, because obviously if you started at the Mookie trade, it's still a shitty sequence. But if you go after the Mookie trade, they took 1 year of Alex Verdugo where he wasn't good, turned it into Richard Fitz and Greg Weiser. And I know Greg had a bad game today, but overall those two guys have been good for the Red Sox. And then replaced him with Tyler O'Neill for a year. They got him for nothing. He hits 31 homers for you. They don't extend Tyler O'Neill. He's now in Baltimore. So your division rival paid him, and he's now playing badly. You've now opened up a spot for your outfield where now you've got four really good outfielders, and you're potentially looking to trade one of them because they're all good. So just pointing out that sequence, that was a good – I know Craig Breslow has taken a lot of heat, deservedly so. But that sequence right there, I will point out, was good. And it was all him too, because if you want to get on the Mookie trade, go for it. But like that was Hyman ownership or however you want to frame it. So that sequence, that is a sequence of dubs for Breslow. I'm building you up. I know everyone's mad at you, but I'm building you up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's hard. It's so hard to just talk about anything positive related to that trade. But starting from when Breslow came into power. Like he's like a dictator. When Breslow came into power, he did do a good job with those pieces. So Eh, good job, Stiff Craig.
Good job, Brez.
Fucking stiff.
Do you want me to give my second or do you want to go?
Go ahead.
All right. I hated the 1975 graphics.
Idiot. Fool.
I hated it.
Fool. Okay. No. And I'm glad that the sentiment was more positive than negative.
Oh, it's way more positive. Way more positive. Yeah. I wish Pat were here because we could have because he didn't like it either. But everyone else loved it. And let me just say one thing. I didn't mind like the yellow lettering and all that stuff. Like, I don't care. It was the tint. The tint was what bothered me so much. Like, why are we making it harder for me to see it? Tint and the lack of the K zone.
Okay, so a few things. This is gonna make me sound insane. If the Red Sox were not wearing their normal white home uniforms, I would not have liked it. I think that would have looked weird. But they were wearing their white uniform, so I thought it looked fine. I think if they did the tint with like a much more modern looking uniform, would have been weird. Second, the matchup, obviously, they did it on purpose to honor 1975.
To honor the Reds, World Series that they lost, yeah.
Yeah, which I think is weird that they honor that team so much, but that's a different topic. I think it looked good. I think it was interesting, and knowing that it was only an inning or two, I could totally stomach the tint. If it were the full game, I wouldn't have liked it. But it was a cool little differentiation from the norm. Also, the font was cool. The digital yellow font. I thought that was cool. The ticker.
Did not mind that at all.
Yeah.
Did not mind that.
But Nesson, who we're constantly ripping on, you know, deservedly so, they did something creative. They did something different and they're getting praised for it. And I, you know, kudos to them. I thought that was really, it was a ballsy move because there's people like Gordo who hate stuff like that. But I think it turned out well, at least from what I saw on social media, the sentiment seemed to be
more positive than negative.
It just goes to show, like, when you do something different, not everyone's going to like it. Like the City Connect, the yellow marathon ones, I don't like them, but most people like them. So I hope the Red Sox keep doing interesting stuff like this. Like, don't go nuts. Don't do a whole game of 1975 style broadcast, but to see the between commercial break music, and it sounded like the 70s, and then Jamai was dressed up with the little
Jamai was fly as fuck. That was awesome.
Joe right on time with the picture of Jamai. That was smooth. I thought that was cool. And like I said, his mic was the old school style as well. Just a cool thing overall. I thought it was cool, but to go back to what you said earlier, it's a little weird that they honor a team that lost. Yeah, but it was still like it's still a historic team.
Sammy, I know you fall in this group, but try to be honest. What percentage of the fan base do you think remembers that World Series?
Alive? Like now?
Yeah, like right now. That was what that like had that game on. What percentage of the fan base do you think? That's 50 years ago.
50 years ago? I think a lot. I mean,
you've got to be at least 60 years old to remember that World Series. I know. I know, dude, you were well in your prime when that World Series happened.
Yeah,
what percentage of the fan base is 60 plus?
Yo, I'm not gonna lie. I had to Google the players they brought into the booth.
I didn't know either of them either.
Yeah,
I didn't.
Like, those were not the stars of the team.
Was one of them the backup catcher?
I don't want to try to talk about them because I'm gonna. I don't want to try to do it. I can remember any jersey number from like 2000 to current, but don't ask me about these guys. Cause I don't fucking know.
To put a bow on it, what I think they should do next is in the year 2027, when they're honoring the 07 team, bring back like the Nesson music in those days was awesome. And yes, I know that's because it was when I was a kid and everyone always thinks nostalgically about when they were a kid. Yeah, bring that music back. Bring the ticker that was like across the top of the screen. Bring that back and bring back Dawn.
Bring back the ticket too, the ticket logo.
Yeah, the ticket logo. The ticket logo was cool.
So much more soul, so much more heart in that logo than the current corporate looking one.
And because it's cool, and you can do the Amica pitch zone that was in the bottom corner. It was not like overlaid. It was in the bottom corner, which it took me a long time to be okay with the K zone in the middle of the, like on the plate, as opposed to in the corner. I've obviously adjusted by now. Do it in the corner. Have Don, have and maybe, I don't know.
Play like, Jerry's best hits between innings, like the best of Jerry Remy.
Can you get like, but in 2 years, are we going to be able to have like an AI Jerry Remy call in the game? Like,
oh, that'd be sick.
That would be wild.
That'd be sick. But I was just thinking, like, play. Can they play the boob grab moment? That was like the funniest moment ever. I don't think they can play that on SN. The whoops.
Oh, come on. I've got it.
This used to be a family show.
Whoops.
AI Remy, the oops. I watched this documentary about this. I forget. It was like a girl that got killed like on some road trip with her boyfriend, and they had like journal entries that she wrote, and they had an AI version of her reading the entries, and I absolutely hated every second of it, but they are capable of doing it. I don't know if like they can have it smart enough to call the game as it happens, but
I mean, at Coachella, they had like a hologram Tupac a few years ago. It's pretty cool. Okay. All right, yeah. Real quick.
Give me enough said.
My enough said. The reason I wasn't on the last few episodes is because I was traveling. A friend of mine had a wedding in Napa, which is near San Francisco. Just wanted to give a shout out to Rafael Devers and the San Francisco Giants for being absolutely ice cold at the perfect time. I didn't have a single Giants fan talk shit to me about Devers or the trade because they had just gotten swept by the Marlins and then lost the game to the White Sox when I was at the wedding. So, nobody had a thing to say. We were actually comparing who had it worse at the time, the Red Sox, who had lost like 7 out of 8 or whatever it was at the time, and the Giants, who were just getting beat up by the bottom of the barrel. So thank you for that cold streak. I'm not really a Giants hater. I think they're kind of a cool franchise, but I am no longer a Rafi guy. So I can't root for them. Won't root against them. Just can't root for them. So that's my enough said. By the way, San Francisco, I feel like it gets a bad reputation. It was a pretty cool city. I always have a good time when I go there. Family there. So shout out to my sister, Joanna. Had a good time.
I didn't even think about how impeccable this Rafi slump / Giants losing games. Like I didn't even think about how awesome that timing was for you being there.
Oh, dude. And the wedding I went to, the whole thing was sports themed. Like the vows were all about, because so my friend is from New Hampshire, so he's a big Boston sports fan. His now wife is from the Bay Area, so she's a big like Warriors and Giants fan. And so their whole speech was comparing their marriage to the 2008 Celtics and the 2015 Warriors, I believe it was, which I thought was great. So yeah, sports themed wedding, and I survived the trash talk, Devers and the Giants. So, whew.
Good for you, Sammy. Good for you.
Let's go Red Sox. Let's go Red Sox.
Go Red Sox. I love the
episode 233 of Play Tessie. Thanks for tuning in. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Don't forget, subscribe, rate 5 stars, and find us on WEI's YouTube channel. Subscribe there. Hit the thumbs up on the YouTube videos on the Play Tessie playlist there. Find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy, for Joe producing, I believe we're all going to be back on Monday's podcast. For the love of God, Walker Buehler, because Giolito's been really good. Crochet's been really good. They're playing the Nationals, who have like 1.5 good hitters. It's just Buehler, just give us something. Okay. Right. 3 good games. They got to win 5 out of 6 against the at least 4 out of 6 against the Nationals and Rockies, but preferably five out of six.
Give me 5.
Minimum four.
Okay. Fine.
Give me five, but minimum 4. But it's going to be very contingent on that Buehler start. So let's hope that they have a good series. But yeah, thanks for tuning in. Hopefully I think we're going to have a good, a full cast for next show. So Gordo guarantee on that. So yeah, thanks for tuning in. I think I said all the stuff for the exit, right? Okay. Yeah. Peace. Give me a go tell me how much you like my trade. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family.
Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.